Dateline, July 5, 1996. Yuji Naka's about to make you fall asleep. As a writer and small-time media personality, I do not envy the creators of Sonic the Hedgehog. Sega president Hayao Nakayama wanted a new character to become the face of the company, a Mickey Mouse for the 90s, and got exactly what he wanted when Naoto Oshima and Yuji Naka proposed a lightning-fast platformer starring a protagonist rolled into a ball. That unnamed sphere eventually became Sonic the Hedgehog, a household name celebrating his 35th anniversary this year. Yet the success of Sonic as a game and as an icon did little to raise the profile of the people who made him a success. Video games as a medium have a notoriously poor reputation when it comes to proper accreditation, especially in the early days when few titles offered any credits beyond a list of pseudonyms. Meanwhile, every single human on Earth over the age of 12 knows at least one of the men responsible for creating Mickey Mouse. In our teenage years, my friends and I had already come to love those who wrote, directed, and starred in all our favorite films or television shows. But we simply had no idea who made the games we devoted hours to each and every day. If anything, we attributed games to their publishers. Konami made Castlevania, Capcom made Mega Man, and so on. That's akin to assuming a new Paramount movie must be good because they released The Godfather and Raiders of the Lost Ark. Meanwhile, Sega saw the sales potential of Sonic and renamed one of its internal studios after the character. While its full history and membership exceed the scope of this column, Sonic Team became a front-facing brand as each Sonic sequel featured the words Sonic Team Presents on the packaging, but only in Japan. That all changed when, 30 years ago this week, the Sonic Team name took front and center on a brand new game for Sega's still relatively new game console. Neither Sonic nor any of his friends make an appearance in this unique experience from his original creators. But the invocation of Sonic's name helped sell Nights into Dreams as a must-have title for the Sega Saturn. Nights into Dreams does not reveal much to players when they first boot it up. After the Sonic Team logo, a computer-animated cutscene introduces an enigmatic figure standing atop a tower in the moonlight. We see her, or possibly him, flying peacefully across idyllic landscapes. They make a funny face, they take a bow, the title screen drops, and that's that. This curious purple-clad humanoid is the star of, and is also known as, Nights. With their wide sleeves and floppy tassels on their head, Knights resembles a king's jester from the distant past, a harlequin trickster with a mischievous grin. According to the instruction manual, Knights lives in the night dimension, an alternate reality which humans only visit in their dreams. Just like our dreams can soothe or shock us, the night dimension contains a variety of residents and locations, both friendly and hostile. Further digging in the manual or lingering on the title screen will introduce the co-stars of the game, two teens named Elliot and Clarice from the town of Twin Seeds. Both youths had a bad day where they felt publicly humiliated. Their great shame lingered until the evening when they crawled into bed and went to sleep. Tormented by their own inadequacies, Elliot and Clarice fled from the dark visions, but not before Nightmarians attacked them and siphoned away their Idea dream energy. That's I-D-E-Y-A. The kids make a getaway and stumble upon a strange building where they encounter knights, once a servant of the forces seeking to conquer the dream world. Having rebelled, Knights was sealed inside an Idea palace to prevent further interference. Elliot and Clarice discover they can use their remaining dream energy to temporarily liberate the purple prisoner, and borrow Knights' powers to recover their stolen Ideas and free the Knight dimension. Starting a new game brings up the Dreams menu, where players can choose to control Elliot or Clarice and set off on their individual journey made up of four stages. Each dream contains a wide swath of real estate to explore, but proceeding on foot will prove difficult. Not only does the terrain slow your progress, but special alarm egg enemies will wake up Elliot or Clarice and instantly end the dream, and the game. Thus, your primary goal is to link up with knights and take advantage of their aerial acrobatics, as the manual puts it. In other words, knights can fly. As knights, you may ignore gravity and freely move in eight directions, although the game locks you into one of four predetermined flight paths called mares. Each mare begins and ends at the Idea Palace, giving knights a limited time window to collect as much dream energy as possible. Once knights meets their quota, returning to the palace resets the clock and seamlessly transitions to the next mare. Knight's simple control scheme means players barely need to touch any of the eight different buttons on the Sega Saturn gamepad. Pressing in a direction moves knights accordingly. Pressing a face button accelerates via a drill attack, though this depletes an energy meter, so its usage is limited. Pressing a shoulder button adds a bit of flair to knights' moves, and pressing both shoulder buttons together brings knights to a full stop. Funnily enough, the gameplay loop of Knights into Dreams is literally a loop, as players fly through mares as many times as needed to accrue energy in the form of colored chips. Floating rings also dot the landscape, which knights can pass through for a score bonus, and to recharge the drill attack meter. Players may put off starting the next mare by avoiding the palace, and running the loop again to rack up additional points. This matters because Knights into Dreams grades your performance, and only by getting a C or better in every dream can you access the final challenge. After completing four mares, Knights flies off to a special nightmare arena where they must defeat a boss. Strategies vary, but once again a ticking clock governs the battle. Knights doesn't have a health bar, so getting hurt depletes the timer instead. If the countdown reaches zero, that's a knight over, which means restarting the entire dream from the beginning. As an American Sega Saturn owner, I had good reason to look forward to Knights into Dreams in 1996. I primarily used my console as a fighting game machine, thanks to excellent ports of Street Fighter Alpha 2 and Night Warrior's Darkstalker's Revenge. But I also saw a much greater variety of software available on competing systems. A fresh, original title with the pedigree of Sonic Team sounded exactly like what I wanted, given that Sonic himself remained missing in action on Saturn. Sega treated the debut of Nights into Dreams as a major event, dropping a reported $10 million on magazine ads and television commercials featuring the tagline, "Prepare to Fly." The company invited reporters to Japan to ask Yuji Naka and Naoto Oshima directly about their latest creation. To further push Nights into Dreams as a groundbreaking three-dimensional title, Sega even made a new controller featuring an analog stick for smoother movement. This 3D control pad came bundled with copies of Nights into Dreams at launch. Within minutes of diving headfirst into the dream world Sega had pitched me, two problems became apparent. Right off the bat, Nights cannot hold a candle to Sonic the Hedgehog. Sonic is expressive and dynamic, running and jumping and tapping his foot, as if to say, "Hey buddy, you're the one holding the controller, but I'm doing all the work." Nights looks like a porcelain figure my great aunt would keep on a shelf, or a whimsical clown seen in the background of a Star Trek holodeck program. The other, larger issue I had with Nights into Dreams concerned its structure. Despite all the advertisements hyping Nights' aerial artistry, actually playing Nights means following the same route through the sky over and over. The game offers room for exploration in that creatures and items lay out of sight, but that doesn't alter the fact that Nights essentially operates in two dimensions, rather than three. Speaking to the Japanese press in 1996 and translated by shmuplations.com, Yuji Naka said, quote, "We just didn't think we'd be able to create interesting gameplay in a completely 3D environment. We did try some early experiments with full 3D, but as we thought, it didn't feel right. But pure 2D would have looked old to today's audiences. What we settled on is the game you see today, the gameplay appeal of 2D with a 3D presentation." End quote. Despite strong sales and critical praise in multiple regions, Nights into Dreams occupies a curious position in Sega's catalog. The game remained a standalone title for over a decade, with nary a sequel or spin-off in sight. A planned follow-up for the Dreamcast never made it to market. Nights co-creator Yuji Naka may have played a role in this, as he told the UK's official Dreamcast magazine, quote, "I know a lot of people love it and want us to make a sequel. But for us, it's a really important game. Like the way Spielberg likes E.T. so much, he won't remake it. I don't want to make another Nights." Naka's departure from Sega in 2006 seemingly opened the door for more Nights. A full-on sequel subtitled Journey of Dreams debuted on the Wii in 2007, followed by a 2008 PlayStation 2 port of the Saturn original. This PS2 version formed the basis of an HD remaster released digitally for consoles and Steam in 2012, although Sega delisted the latter in 2024. Nights' return to the spotlight brought with it a flurry of fans not just endorsing the game, but explaining its inner workings. In contrast to its simple control scheme, Nights has repeatedly confounded me due to its counterintuitive mechanics. The timer encourages me to treat it like a racing game. So I gather up the colored orbs, make a beeline for the palace, and I receive a D grade for my efforts. According to countless YouTube tutorials, the winning strategy involves hoarding dream energy, depositing it all in one go to open the path forward, but then milking the clock for all it's worth. Every collectible beyond the required quota offers far greater rewards, and doing so uninterrupted reaps even higher scores. Nights looks like a childish game at first glance, but demands repetition and skillful execution to fully experience all that it offers. Trying Nights into Dreams again 30 years after I first played it, I still don't jive with the game. I'm old enough now to appreciate that it has a particular vision and it operates according to its own rules. rules that set it apart from Sonic or Mario or any other platforming hero. Nights into Dreams might be the platonic ideal of the maxim, it's about the journey, not the destination, considering how players start and end each mare in exactly the same place. However, the prospect of running through obstacle courses over and over chasing bigger and bigger numbers feels nightmarish to me. If I'm going to drill myself until I achieve proficiency, I'd rather head to the batting cages and learn how to hit home runs. Apologies to Elliot, Clarice, and Sega fans everywhere, but I reserve the right to spend my nights reading in bed, not chasing ideas. Thank you for listening to this audio version of my latest This Week in Retro column, a Retronauts exclusive for our Patreon supporters. My name is Diamond Fight, and when I'm not writing or podcasting, I'm updating my website, fightclub.me. That's FEITCLUB.ME. Good night! Far away, anytime, any place, I can see your face. That special one that I've been waiting for, and I hope you're looking for someone.